Welcome to the 15th episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. On today's episode, Casey talks about the successfulness of insects. We discuss two adorable animals from Greece as our favorites this week. And we learn about a super awesome animal. Don't forget to follow us on social media and check out our new In Case You Missed It videos. So far, we featured Sad Cat Diary and Corgi Flop. But now let's jump into episode 15 of the Animal Addicts Podcast. Hello and welcome to the 15th episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And today we're going to talk about a whole new... Nope, not phylum. A whole new... Shoot, I'm already failing at my job. I was supposed to look up different words. Give me another one. You gave me biota last time.
I don't know.
A whole new...
Menagerie.
Sure, I like that. Menagerie of animals. But before we get into that, your freaking clown is looking at me again, man. Cover it up. No!
Why? What's wrong with this?
They're the worst. I do not do clowns. They're terrifying. Anyway, okay, that's better. I love the other scary things are fine. The clown, I can't do it. I can still see his frilled collar sticking out. Oh, God. Okay.
Sorry, I don't have big hands.
Anyway, I'm just going to put tape over it. What have you been up to? That's better. What have you been up to, Casey, since I last saw you?
The world is twirling out of control.
Is it?
Yes.
We don't even know.
Yep.
How far. I should say, we did have to record this episode ahead of time, so we don't even know how things ended. If the world is ending.
We may not be around.
I might be already looking for my escape route. We don't know. Anyway, continue, Casey. Oh, yeah. What have you been up to?
I had a midterm in entomology. So, technically, I did good, but I'm mad at myself.
Okay, why?
Because it was one of those exams where, like, I went from question to question to question. Mm-hmm. And, like, I know the insects pretty well, and it's like, I felt confident in everything. And then I get my grade, and it's like, this is not what I expected.
You get a migraine?
No, my grade.
Oh, okay.
I get a migraine because of my grade.
Okay, so you got your grade, and it was not good.
It was good, technically, but not as good as I wanted it to be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was it a B?
Maybe. Okay, here's the thing. My professor's like, we don't have, nobody has earned, has an F, just like nobody has an A or B because everything, all the points are cumulative.
Okay.
But I would like to have the points in the 90s.
Yeah.
They were in the high 80s.
Oh, poor Case. Yeah.
Then I have the other midterms up this week, including for ecology. Which is open note, which always concerns me because, like, I don't know how in depth it's going to be or what the format even is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you take good notes?
I feel like I do sometimes.
Then you should
resign. But who knows? Yeah.
Is that it? Your brain's just exploding because of your terms, and basically?
Now I'm approaching an existential crisis because, like, trying to think the future scares me. I like staying in the present.
Like a dog.
Yes.
That's what we're supposed to learn from the dogs.
Yeah. It's like looking at graduate programs, thinking of career paths and all that stuff. It's like, where's the sweet release of death?
You're having an existential crisis right now as we speak.
Yeah.
But you want to do marine biology mostly, right?
Conservation ecology is my thing.
But you don't care if it's marine or if it's...
The problem with marine biology...
Yeah.
It's there's like no jobs open.
Okay.
Because a lot of people want to get into marine biology. And like, there's no work available. That's what my friend Jasmine and I figured out. It's like, there's awesome work. There's no jobs.
I see. I would rather do land terrestrial biology versus marine biology.
I've been getting really into like insects and stuff like that too. I also love taxonomy and evolution. It's like, there's so many things like... Most people, it's like, I don't want it. I want to be immortal so I don't have to die. And it's like, I want to be immortal so I can study all these different things I want to study.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you can always get your teaching credential and you can teach biology.
Well, that's what I think, like, because my idea is, like, after my PhD, I would eventually become a college professor. Because I did learn I really like teaching.
But I'm assuming you like teaching more adults versus
children. I would be a college professor. I would never work high school. No, I'd murder my students.
Yeah. It would not go well.
I would bring a box of squirrels to torture them with.
What? Just release the squirrels? Okay.
So where that comes from is my friend had to take an organic chemistry exam in the physics lecture hall.
Okay.
This big hall, very steep stairs. I almost ate it when I went down them the first time. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I am not half tempted to pay someone to bring and release a box of squirrels during the final.
Oh my gosh. Just to try and get the final canceled?
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
All those tricks.
Yeah.
Not to say that the arts aren't appreciated, but when I went to my university, one of my theater classes was in the very old falling apart science building, but a physics classroom. I was like, this makes all the sense. Here we are in a physics classroom for theater, also with the sketchiest elevator. It was terrible. But of course, the class is like on the 7th floor, so anyway. Yeah.
But the great thing about like graduate programs is if you're going for your PhD, you're like covered, you'll tuition's waived and you'll get a stipend. Healthcare, awesome. That stuff. Although for your master's, it comes down to your PI, whether or not you get funded. Because a lot of times these programs are just looking for PhD students. So they're, which is funny because most people I know that have their PhD got their master's first.
Well, can't you just skip the master's and just get your PhD?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, so just do that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the plan. I'm happy we solved that. I know we didn't change anything. We're just confirming that that is your plan.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't go for my master's just because I can get fully funded if I go for my PhD rather than going through a master's and then a PhD program.
That's crazy.
Yep.
This has nothing to do with anything, but it just makes me laugh. I have this friend I met in theater, and he is going to graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what it is.
Do you know what he got his bachelor's in?
No, but he's he's going for his PhD in, it's some crazy sciencey thing. It's not biochemistry, but it's something very, very scientific, very like, okay, smarty pants, right, type person getting a PhD in this. Mm-hmm. And then I asked him, I was like, oh, wow, because he's doing this while we were in a show. So he'd leave rehearsal and have to go home and write papers and stuff for a PhD, which is not some little thing, right?
I would not do that.
Yeah.
That's like the idea is for you not to have a job so you can just focus on your PhD.
When we're not getting paid, we're volunteering because we like theater.
Okay.
But I asked him, I was like, okay, so you're getting your PhD. That's cool. Like, so what do you want to do? Do you want to get a job and whatever? And he's like, oh, no, I want to direct and perform. I'm like, but you're getting a PhD. He's like, yeah, that's my backup. Who gets a PhD as a backup plan? I was like, oh, man. That's insane. So anyway, so I have a friend who really his passion is theater and directing, but he's doing that backup plan of that PhD in some crazy sciencey thing.
You know, honestly, I have a friend that's like that. His backup plan is doctor.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I think, what was it? I think he wants,
his first plan?
I think forensics.
Oh, well, those are kind of related at least.
Yeah. But
they're related.
Yeah, but still.
I mean, being a director of theater person versus, that, like, whatever crazy
I don't know
science
what,
thing that was.
Yeah. Anyway. Like, normally when people are interested, have two opposite things, there's at least some relation. Like,
yeah.
I know somebody that went from engineer major to oceanography. Still STEM majors.
Yeah.
But then, like, the arts and then science is, like, funny,
mm-hmm.
I remember I went to a webinar about the entomology program, and they were talking about how one of their students, after he got his PhD, he actually went back to school to become a lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, what's the difference between a lawyer and a scientist? And it's scientists will argue and debate to make sure they're correct, and a lawyer will always argue and debate with someone even when they're wrong.
Yeah. Lawyers just, you have to make it work your way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have one other friend who has a bachelor's, and I think he's biochem. But
I'm in biochem right now. I'm not happy.
Yeah, it's That's crazy. I think
it's interesting. It's like, I would not study this.
Yeah, I mean, I like biology because I like I would want to go into zoology. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I also can't handle animals dying. It makes me sad. Yeah. So
that's one of the great things about the UC's graduate programs is you get access to the UC Natural Reserve System for your research, which is it's owned by the university. So it's not open to public, so you don't have like any kind of development, hunters, or anything coming in disturbing the area.
That's good.
Yep.
That's awesome. All right. Well, I did something kind of fun. Again, I have no time, so I never get to do anything really big. I haven't been to the park.
I haven't been in a long time either.
I haven't been in like 2 months. It's crazy because I have no time. I'm working all the time.
Going through withdrawals?
Yes. I want to go, and then when I get my free time, it's when they're closed, or they're only going to be open for like another half hour if I get there. So I'm like, ugh, so frustrating. Anyway, but I did meet my friend's new puppy, and he is so cute. His name is Ziggy. For Ziggy Stardust, like, oh my god, I just blanked
Ziggy
his
Stardust?
Name. Oh my god, David Bowie.
Oh.
anyway, but he is a Labradoodle, I believe. Golden Doodle Labradoodle. I think he's a Labradoodle.
I remember when I lived in Temecula.
Yeah, all these are poodles.
Poodles are lab poodle mixes. Yeah. Labradoodles, poodles, and it's like, what's up with this area? Why do you have all poodles?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I have had experience with Labradoodles, Golden Doodles. I find them to not be very bright.
Really?
Even though poodles are smart. But then I was talking to my one friend about it and was like, well, they're probably so overbred because everyone wants doodles. Mm. That's probably why they're not the brightest. Anyway. But he's a very sweet little guy, but he definitely gets that puppy, like, once he decides he's chewing, you're not escaping.
Yeah.
Like, your pants, everything's fair game. But he's also only, like, 10-12 weeks. I forget how old he is now. So he's still not like chewing everything in sight phase. But he's very cute. I'll have to see if I can get permission to post pictures of him. He's adorable. And I brought him. I'm so terrible. Like, I don't get my friends' birthday presents or Christmas presents, but I would get their pet stuff all the time. So I brought him a little like Frankenstein stuffed animal plush thing. Because also, like, we don't know what he's into yet, you know, because every dog is a little different in what they like. Even cats are different in what they like. So I got him a little Frankenstein plush, and I got him a little Sully from Monsters, Inc. plush. Mm-hmm. So he loves his Frankenstein. He was eating that immediately. Well, chewing on it. He didn't eat it yet. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he's super cute, but yeah, he has that puppy just crazy energy. So anyway,
the energy I need.
I know. Can we steal it from puppies? But Casey, you had something for us today.
Yes. I had a little bio lesson to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I decided what I'm going to do on is the success of insects.
The success of insects?
Yes. Because they, like I've said, they are the most populous species on Earth. Well, group of animals on Earth.
Okay.
Because current estimates have them at somewhere between 2 to 8 million species.
Wow.
Yes. A lot of those are beetles.
Well, they're so little.
Yeah. And, like, some people might ask, why did the insects become so successful? And there's a couple different reasons. One of them is the small size.
Yes.
So when you are in such a tiny thing.
Itty bitty.
Yes. You can exploit niches that are not available once you get to a larger size.
That makes sense, yeah.
Like, let's say you look at a tree. Insects are only going to have so much of a range, especially if it doesn't have wings or does not fly very often. So, like, there'll be a different ecological niche that exists near, like, on the forest floor or the base of the tree than, say, up towards, closer towards the top of the higher branches.
Interesting, okay.
Yes. So there's going to be more niches available to things that are small, and it's going to be easier for organisms to get isolated and evolve into separate species when they're small.
Okay.
Another thing is a lot of insects fly. Wings is very important in terms of speciation because you need some kind of isolation in order for a new species to evolve. Evolving wings is one very good way of that because you can get away from predators and then you can move to an area where there's not other organisms and become separated from the host, the original population, then they can become separate species that way. And the third major thing is their exoskeleton.
Okay.
Yeah, because it allows great deal of versatility in terms of the life that they can live. Mm-hmm. It allows them to stay protected from desiccation, which is drying out, because insects have very weird anatomy.
Okay.
Because, like, for instance, we have a closed circulatory system.
All right.
So they're all enclosed in capsularies. It's not open to anything. Insects have an open circulatory system.
How?
So they have, like, this little vessel that's where their blood is called hemolymph. And then when it goes through the vessel, it just oozes over the body cavity.
Ew.
It's cool.
That's gross.
It's cool.
Okay.
But the cool thing with insects, though, is that unlike our blood, theirs, in most cases, does not transport oxygen or carbon dioxide.
Okay, what does it transport?
Nutrients, waste, hormones. Does basically most of everything that our bodies use, but does not transport gas exchange.
Okay.
Yeah, because how they breathe is actually through little holes in their body called trachea. And so basically they breathe by diffusion, which is just basically random movement of air molecules. That's how their oxygen goes into their body. And then they get, the trachea gets smaller and smaller until they get to these, where they go to individual cells.
So
and that's how they transport
it. If you dressed an insect up, it would die.
Yes, technically.
Okay.
Yep.
It'd be hard to do, and don't do it, but like, they're very strange.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little freaked out by this, but okay, continue.
Yeah. And so like, again with the exoskeleton, you can also see the versatility in just their legs, because there are so many different kinds of legs. Like we learned about these fossorial legs, which if you look at them, they're creepy looking.
I don't like it.
It's cool though. They're kind of like big, bulky, and kind of like a little point ends at the end of the leg. Also, they don't have feet. We call them tarsus.
Okay. What is this little pointy thing at the end?
Yeah, kind of just like a little, kind of looks like a little stick sometimes.
Okay.
And then they use those to dig. And then there's also what's called raptorial legs. And those are the grasping ones that you'll see on like metids and mantaspids.
Like on, oh my gosh, what are those?
Praying mantids.
Yes, thank you. I was like about to say manatee, and I'm like, that's wrong.
And there's also something called an adductorial leg, which is, it's basically for swimming because there's hair on part of the leg. Yeah. And it acts like a little row, and they just swoosh through the water.
Swish through the water?
Yes. And then they can lift, there's hairs on them. And so imagine doing a backstroke. And it would not help if you had those hairs acting like your oars just staying in the water. You would not move. So they will lift those hairs up when they're doing going back.
This is all very weird.
Yes.
But okay, continue.
But yeah, point is that the exoskeleton provides them a lot of versatility in the ways they can live. Another thing, it's very advantageous to, if you look at the most diverse groups, out of the, one thing that they'll have in common is that they have what's called a complete metamorphosis, or they are what's called holometabolous.
Okay, so complete metamorphosis, I'm assuming of like caterpillars or butterflies.
Yes.
Okay, so what are the other ones?
The other ones? So they can be what's called ametabolous, where it's like they don't have any kind of metamorphosis.
Okay.
Or they're hemimetabolous, which is where they have this kind of like nymph stage when they're younger, which kind of looks like a mini adult, and then they grow up, and then there's like, they might grow wings, and then they're the adult stage.
Okay.
Yeah. And the metamorphosis is actually very important in terms of being able for the species become more diverse and successful.
Okay.
Because, one thing you have to account for that might limit the viability of a species is intra-specific competition, which is competition within the species. So the same species competing with each other.
Okay.
Because a lot of species, the adults will have to compete with offspring of either theirs or other adults.
That's weird.
Well, think about it. It's like a good analogy would be a cat. An adult cat will eat mice. And then the young cats will also eat mice.
Okay.
Same thing with other animals. It's pretty common. Insects, in terms of the ones that have complete metamorphosis, it's actually very important to their success. Because now we have these little larvae, little squishy things.
Yeah.
And they have a completely different food requirements than the adults.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense then. Yeah. That is good.
Like, example, butterflies. Little caterpillars are eating leaves and stuff, unless you're in Hawaii, which they're really cool because they have predatory caterpillars.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, they'll disguise themselves as, like, leaves or sticks. Then a fly lands next to them and they grab it. It's awesome.
Okay.
Yep. Hawaii's awesome.
Hawaii is awesome.
Yes. They also have a terrestrial dragonfly nymph.
Weird.
Yes.
How is it a dragonfly if it doesn't fly?
No, the nymph is terrestrial.
Oh.
The adults still fly, but see, with other dragonflies are actually a pretty primitive insect species because other insects, most of them can fold their wings.
Okay.
Dragonflies can't. They're stuck like that. Mm-hmm. Or like that if they're a damselfly.
Yeah.
And so... one thing they do is they'll have their offspring in water, and those babies are nymphs, although a lot of scientists will call those naiads because they live in water.
Okay.
They're so cool because they're awesome little predators. They actually, the order for the dragonflies and damselflies is Odonata. Literally translates to tooth. And the reason they get that name is there's this part of the mouth called the labium.
Yeah.
It has little, like, tooth-like things on them. And they project out to grab their prey.
Oh, my God.
Pull
it's
it
a
in.
Monster.
I know. It's like a little xenomorph. It's awesome.
You don't even need to invent monsters. Just take insects and make them bigger.
It's so cool. Yeah.
To you.
Yes. And actually, those are some of the insects that have... like I was saying with the respiration for insects,
mm-hmm.
Some of the exceptions are like those naiads because they have gills.
All kinds of weird.
Yeah.
Insects are crazy.
Yes. That exoskeleton gives them great flexibility in terms of what they are able to do. Also, puts an enormous amount of stress on sometimes because obviously I have to molt in order to grow.
Yeah.
I did not learn how stressful to molt it could actually be.
Why?
First off, the trachea I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. The little holes in their body that transport oxygen.
Yeah.
Those are lined in exoskeleton. So those have to molt too.
Ew.
Yes, so there's like strings. If you look at a molt, you can actually see like these little stringy things. That's the trachea. It gets pulled out of them when they molt.
Ugh.
I'm going to blow your mind even more.
I don't want
it
to.
It comes to the gut. So the gut has three parts, not necessarily connected with the head, thorax, and abdomen.
Okay.
But the foregut, the front portion of their digestive system, and the hindgut are lined in exoskeleton. So that also has to molt.
How?
It gets pulled out of their mouth and anus when they molt.
This sounds awful.
It's awesome.
How
it's so cool.
How hurt them? Not our problem.
Well, there's argument over whether or not insects can feel pain because they have very simple brains.
Okay.
And their brains are also really cool because we have just one big centralized brain.
Yeah.
They have tiny little brains in different parts of their body.
Oh, that's weird.
Yes, but it's so cool. That's the reason why cockroaches can live without their head for a couple weeks. Because they have like the brain. It is called a brain because it's in the head. That's and then they have these little kind of like brains, but we don't call them brains because they're not in the head.
Mm-hmm.
So we call them ganglia, which kind of means gang of nerves.
Yeah.
And they will control different parts of the body. And there's like a subesophageal
mm-hmm.
Ganglia that controls like all the mouth parts and stuff. Then there's parts in the abdomen and the thorax.
They're freaking me out, man.
Here's the thing. This would have actually been an experiment. It sounds messed up, but it's very interesting science. One thing some entomology labs will do for undergrads is they will cut the head off of a cockroach, seal the opening with wax. It will still move around and do all of its bodily functions. It can even fly. Fun fact, cockroaches can fly. And if it's a gravid female, and gravid is a term for pregnant with eggs, it will lay the eggs.
Nope.
Yep.
Not a fan.
Mm-hmm. And it will continue to live until the energy stores from food have been used up.
Wow. Yep. Also, I still don't like this because it's still mean. Even though they're gross. Don't chop off their heads. That's fucked up.
Yep. It's so interesting that they can do that.
But everybody it's doesn't interesting. Need to do it. But everybody doesn't need to do yeah. it.
No, they don't. But scientists do it.
No, but not every scientist needs to do it.
Not every scientist, but those that study this kind of stuff do.
Yeah, but you could do one like in a classroom and then you all observe it.
Yeah.
You don't have to have each student kill a poor cockroach.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Don't like it.
Anyway. I was, yes. This is a really a rabbit trail technically because I was talking about metamorphosis.
Yeah.
But yeah. So back to that. So like I was saying, the caterpillars will be eating the vegetables, leaves and stuff. Then you have the moths and the butterflies that are going to be going around eating nectar, assuming they are feeding because there's some moths when they're adults, they don't eat.
The world of insects is insane.
Well, there's an entire order of insects that won't eat in their adult stage. The Ephemeroptera, that name literally translates for a day wing because those are mayflies.
Oh.
They literally live for 24 hours.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yes. Those are also weird for other reasons. They're also very important because they're important food for fish. They're also very sensitive to water quality, so we use them as indicator species.
Okay.
Yeah. So that allows them to exploit different food as well as different niches, and obviously when their adults can fly away to other locations.
Right.
So it eliminates competition between adults and the offspring. And so because of that, if you look at the most diverse orders of insects, 4 out of 5 are holometabolous insects.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those are the ones that don't do the...
Those are the ones that do complete metamorphosis.
This is confusing. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
How dare you? I don't follow insects. The clown is looking at me again, Casey.
Yeah.
No.
But just as a little fun fact, the most diverse orders are the dipterans. Those are flies and midges.
Thank you.
Coleopterans. Those are beetles. Lepidopterans, which are butterflies, moths, and skippers.
So those are the coolest. Continue. Yes. I just forgot because I was talking about the butterflies. Lipperdapperdans is what I basically just said. Well, they're out of a chop now.
Why do I feel... Butterflies, flies, beetles. What am I missing?
Pinch or buggy type thing.
No, those are metabolists.
Silly me.
Oh my gosh. Or maybe it's 4 that are very diverse.
He's going to have to correct this if he's wrong.
Yes. And then the one that is not a holometabolous insect is the hemipterans. That name literally translates to halfwing.
Halfwing. Yeah, you said yes. This already. I remember hemi being half before, which also confuses me because like a hemi engine is supposed to be important, but it's like what? Half an engine?
A what? What?
A hemi engine.
Hemi engine.
It's supposed to be a powerful engine in a car.
Oh my gosh, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Because this is like one of my favorite order.
Mm-hmm.
Hymenopterans. Those are bees, wasps, ants, and sawflies.
That is not my favorite order.
What?
No. I like
They're
the
so
bees.
Cool.
I'm not a fan of ants.
Why?
I got bit by them a lot and was a kid.
Ants are awesome.
Are they though?
Yes. But one of the coolest things is how these guys reproduce.
Oh, God. I'm afraid.
No, it's really cool.
Okay, because
I'm not sure if it's with all hymenopterans, but I do know it with bees.
Mm-hmm.
Males do not have fathers or sons.
Okay.
Because they have a haplo-diplo sexual determination system.
The fuck does that mean?
It means that the males are all haploid, which means they have only one set of chromosomes.
Okay.
Whereas the females are diploid, have 2 sets of chromosomes.
Okay.
So all the males are the result of unfertilized eggs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I probably already said this, but there was a commercial for Snapple, and it said one fun fact was bees are born fully developed, and it's like, this is a lie. They're larvae. It's an important fact for their diversity.
Well, Snapple doesn't care.
No, but they should.
Should they?
Yes.
I don't know if they care.
Yeah.
Anyway, is that it for the success of insects, or is there more? I mean, I'm sure there's more, but is there more that you
There was a third point I had, and I lost it. I can't remember what it was now, and I'm mad.
This is why you write down notes.
Yes, but I know this so well, I shouldn't need them.
That's true. That is true.
I am sorry, my insect overlords. Okay. Just learn to love the creepy crawlies, because they're awesome.
Well, now I feel like I love them less, but okay. Why? I'm still learning about that, actually, but anyway.
You learn so many cool things. Respect them.
Wow. You know what I do respect, Casey?
What?
I respect animals that are a little more cute, a little more charismatic.
Can I give you a little cutie fact?
I don't think it's going to be cute, Casey.
It's about earwigs.
I doubt it's cute, but okay, say it.
They're one of the few insects that have maternal care.
Oh, that is actually cute. Now I imagine a mommy with her little baby.
I've actually went out looking for insects once, and one time I lifted a stone, and there was a mom with her brood right there.
Little bubbas. Yeah. That is cute. Mm-hmm. But it was my turn to pick our animal, well, not our animal of the week, but our animals for this, our category, I should say. And we're in Europe now, and I didn't really know what to pick, so I was like, I'm just going to pick a random country. And we're going to look for animals from that country. And I decided Greece was going to be it.
Also, we need to note something.
Oh?
In the notes, she put Grecian animals. I had no idea what she meant. Because I've always referenced the adjective form of Greece as Greek. Side note over.
Anyway, I was probably thinking it because of Hercules. And I can't sing it because we'll get sued. But no, we'll get a cease and desist first. Mm-hmm. But he could tell you what's a Grecian urn. Mm-hmm. But that's also like a really word. Wow, words aren't happening again. But that is a oh my gosh, two meanings, but not inappropriately. But anyway, I'm gonna move on. But a Grecian urn is a thing. So. But yeah, so we were in Greece, talking about Greek animals, I suppose. I like to say Grecian, it sounds cooler. And
I like to say Greek because it's accurate.
Wow. That's the difference between arts and STEM. We're more interesting.
Bull!
We have more imagination. I should put it that way.
We don't need imagination because reality is weirder than what you can come up with.
I mean, that's kind of true, but everybody needs imagination, so that's incorrect. Someone who's so big on being correct is incorrect. Oh, anyway. So I chose the Beach Martin. I'm going to tell your mom you did that.
Go ahead.
The Beach Martin. Not a beach like sand.
Yeah.
Beach, B-E-E. Did I just put three E's? B-E-E.
B-E-E.
C.H. Martin. They're adorable. I mean, usually my animals are adorable, let's be real. But I guess I'm going first. I kind of just hijacked that. Sorry. Their scientific name is Martis Foina? Foina?
Martis Foina.
Foina.
I believe that's what you say.
Nothing like that, but okay. They are found throughout much of Europe, as far west as Spain, and as far north as Denmark. They live primarily in deciduous forest habitat. They are 40 to 54 centimeters long. They're adorable, weighing in at only 1.1 to 2.3 kilograms. The teenies.
Yes, the teenies.
It's about the size of a domestic cat.
No, there's a side note. Read the whole line. Read the whole line.
But more slender. Size-wise, not weight-wise.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why. So bad. I'm sharing that on one of our bloopers, by the way. It's happening. The crazy cat stat. But more slender. Males and females are monomorphic. They look the same, both in color, pattern, and size. Has polychiandrous.
Oh, polychiandrous.
I was right. I said it right.
Yeah.
Polychiandrous. Good job. Thank you. promiscuous. Nope. Yeah, that is promiscuous.
Yeah, it's promiscuous.
Oh. Polyandrous promiscuous mating system.
Yeah.
It's a free-for-all. Nope.
When I took animal behavior, that's what we called it. Free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all. Males mate with multiple females and vice versa. Yes, Beach Martins. This is how it should be. This is equality in the animal kingdom. Females have delayed implantation. They mate in midsummer, but zygote doesn't implant until the following spring. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think that's the first animal we've discussed that does that.
So, if I remember correctly, Wolverine has something similar.
Well, they had something where they didn't go into... It wasn't estrus, but it
wasn't... Oh, wait, no. That was...
It was something... Ovulation, right?
Yeah, induced ovulation.
So it's a little different.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
Does this have a technical name, delayed implantation?
I believe that's a technical name.
Oh, okay. There you go, folks. That's a technical thing.
Yeah. Sometimes we're lazy scientists and don't want to come up with something special.
It's because you lack imagination. Oh, you need an artist.
No, we
person.
Don't, because you can have a weird name and you'll still get something named after you.
Whatever.
Okay. That's how we got the name Malpighian Tubules.
There's a lot of weird names out there.
That was someone's last name, Malpighian.
There's some crazy last names out there. Anyway, this is really cool, though. So these guys are super cute and fluffy. They're not really that fluffy, but they look cute and fluffy, right? They're immune to bee and wasp stings. I wish, because I could not go a summer when I was child getting stung. And that allows them to feed from hives without serious injury. Their lifespan in the wild is only an average to 3 years, but up to 10. And captivity is 18 years. That depresses me because they are adorable and I need to
see. Look at them. They're tiny little... snack to larger predators.
That's so nice. They gotta be smart. They gotta dodge them. They're an omnivorous species. I was like, omnivore? Nope. Omnivorous species that has a preferred diet of smaller mammals. They're little murderers is what they are. They play a key role in managing pest rodent populations, so everybody should love them and don't let your cat eat them. And they are listed as least concerned by the IUCN Red List. Population is assessed as stable and no special status under CITES, which I do not remember.
CITES.
Why would you say it's CITES? I would say CITE.
No, as that's how people say it, is CITES.
Well, that's crazy. It's not like Socrates. Socrates. I guess it is CITES because, God is like, it is because it's Greek, but this is not Greek. But anyway, haven't we discussed that almost none of the animals we've covered are... Aren't they almost all least concerned by ICUN?
Probably, because you like the adorable ones, which is already protected.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway. But yeah, these guys are super cute. I will put up.
Wake up!
I'm trying. I will put up a picture.
Actually, I've been yawning once today.
Good job. I will put up a picture of these, obviously. But they're adorable. Like it said, they're in a lot of Europe, but... I saw that picture and I was like, I'm choosing that one. And I also claimed it before he had a chance to. I don't think he would have chosen it because he doesn't usually choose the cute little things. Except for when you stole a Channel Island fox.
You didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't, but I was thinking of fox. I didn't know there was a Channel Island fox, but we couldn't both do fox. That'd be weird.
Sure we could.
I don't like it. Anyway. So the Beach Martin, super adorable little thing, and immune to wasp and bee stings, which is like crazy. And also... a nice, equal society. I like it. I like it.
All right.
Yeah. What's yours, Casey?
I chose the Mediterranean horseshoe bat.
That actually sounds really cool.
Yes.
I'm hoping it's not going to be terrifying, because most bats are cute. So I'm hoping it's cute.
Yes. So its scientific name is Rhinolophus urellae. E-U-R-Y-A-L-E.
It should be like Euclid, so yeah, that's probably right. Okay,
yeah.
Ish.
And these are small.
Oh.
They're in terms of their actual body.
Okay.
They're 65 to 88 millimeters long. That's about 3 inches.
I can't even like picture that. Oh my God! They're smaller than this pen!
Yeah.
It's like there!
Yeah.
How do they not get eaten?
Because they fly.
They're flying things that beat them. I imagine. Anyway, yes. Continue. Sorry.
So they weigh about 8 to 17 and a half grams.
Oh my gosh.
With a wingspan about 300 to 320 millimeters.
Which is?
About a foot.
Oh, that's a pretty good little wingspan for something that small.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And this is actually reverse of most mammals in terms of sexual dimorphism because females tend to be larger than the males.
Wasn't that the case with the green anaconda? Oh, that's not a mammal, though.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, continue.
Yes. And they're a bit interesting when they're resting because they turn some of their fingers because how a joint turns. Mm-hmm. They cannot fully wrap themselves when they're resting like most other bats. So they'll stay in close contact with one another to keep warm.
Oh my god, they're little cuddle bat parties?
Yes.
Oh my god. Mm-hmm. I love them.
Yeah. And because of the fact that they can't keep themselves warm like that, it's based on studies from other Krellsy-related species, it's thought that they might go into what's called torpor, which is basically kind of like a mini hibernation. Hummingbirds do this. Basically at night, their heart rate drops and go into kind of like this hibernative state where they're very unresponsive, and it's basically like how animals go into hibernation, except it's for a very short period of time.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, and that's an adaptation deal with the low temperatures that they'll experience.
I kind of wish I could do that so that when I want to sleep, no one can wake me up, and I can be like, screw you, I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
Get my full night.
Mm-hmm. But, not much is known about the reproduction of this species, but based on studies from other similarly related species, it is thought that they might have delayed fertilization.
Oh, just like my little Martin.
Yes.
Well, that's implantation, not
Yes, this is fertilization, so they can mate, store the sperm, and then can decide when they want to have their babies.
I'm just hoping they can decide which sperm they want to use. Like, that was.
There's actually a lot of cool studies into sperm selection.
Okay.
Yeah, because, like, it's not always, like, I think this was actually for humans. It's not always the first sperm that comes and fertilizes the egg. Because the egg seems to have some kind of control over which sperm that it will allow to fertilize it.
Ugh, I hope I have smart eggs if I ever have children. Choose a good sperm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, these aren't a very well-studied species of bat, so we don't know the lifespan of these guys either. And that is very difficult to estimate, especially with bats.
Yeah.
Because bats are weird when it comes to their lifespan.
Okay.
Because there tends to be this trend between body size, metabolism, and your lifespan.
Right.
And out of the animals that fall are huge outliers from that trend, a lot of them are bats.
Yeah, I remember you saying that before.
Very small, large lifespan. Because, for instance, some of these guys' relatives have a lifespan of about 6 or 7 years. And then there was an individual from another species, it lived to 27 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And like most other bats, these guys are an insectivorous species, and they are nocturnal. They primarily eat moths and several other flying insects, which makes them important keeping those populations in check. And by doing that, they help plant populations that can be impacted by phytophagous insects. Phytophagous means, phytophagus, I believe is how you properly say it, means that you eat plants.
Oh.
Yeah. Phagus means to eat, phyto means plants.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So a vegetarian is a phyto.
Yes, phytophagus.
I want to say that. Yes.
Oh, that's another. Another rabbit trail. But also, back to the diversity of insects, another thing that's a big contributing factor, though not one of the big three, was, co-evolution with plants, because plants are incredibly diverse. There's about 400,000 species worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those are flowering plants, like 300,000 of them are flowering plants. And they co-evolve with insects and sometimes will have specialized, like they specifically evolve with these individual species, and that creates some diversity. And when you look at the most diverse insects, most of them are phytophagous.
That's cool.
Yeah, just a little side note. So yeah, they're important for both insect control and as well as helping local plant species survive from insects coming out of control. And they are currently listed as near threatened by the IUCN Red List.
Okay.
Population has been assessed as being in decline, And one possible explanation for this is the increased use of insecticides.
Oh, no.
Because the insects eat the insecticide. They don't always die. And because evolution of insects with insecticide resistance is a key research study for a lot of entomologists.
Okay.
And so sometimes they'll get resistant, and then they'll be carrying the poison from the insecticide. The bats eat it. They die from the poisoning of the insecticide.
Mm, that's so sad. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to find a picture of these. I hope I can find a picture of these.
I know. It's going to be difficult, man.
How dare you? It's going to be some random bat. I want to see them. They sound adorable. Mm-hmm. I want to hold one. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I love bats. I went camping once, and I literally was out in a field just looking up at the sky,
that's
watching
like
the bats.
That you told us about at Santa Barbara, yeah. Did I tell you about the Girl Scout trip I had?
I don't think so.
So we had a Girl Scout trip, and we were in the special group because we got to sleep in the one that was a building. Mm-hmm. There are no windows or doors, but you're still not out under the stars like we usually are. One of the girls in our troop was very girly.
Mm.
Most of us were not.
I'm sorry.
But she was very girly type. So a bat chose, of course, to fly into the cabiny thing with no windows or doors and land on her. No one else, you know, had to land on her. So that was a blood-curdling scream in the middle of the night. And then another girl, I'm pretty sure, based on reacting to the scream, fell out of her top bunk. So you just heard, like, a scream and then, like, thud, thud.
Oh, my God.
Like, we shouldn't get hurt. It was that same trip, too, where we were, like, walking up to that because it was up, like, on a hill, that site. And there was a rattlesnake, and the people behind us just had to sit and wait for it to take its sweet time to cross the trail. Oh, wildlife. But yes, bats are awesome. I love them. Well, anyway, I think we should get into our animal of the week, which, again, is not very aw, but it is really cool.
Yes.
I was very adamant that we did this one because I think they're one of the coolest animals, honestly, probably in the world, because they just look so wrong.
Yeah.
But in a great way. All right, ready? Our animal of the week is...
the Sheltepusik.
Is that how you say it?
Sheltepusik.
I never know how to say this.
It's Russian.
Sheltepusik. That's amazing. Sheltepusik.
Yes. Yeah. It's also called the European glass lizard. I'll get into that name later.
Okay.
Right. So these come from the order Squamata. Those are snakes and lizards.
Okay.
And they come from the family Anguidae. Also, just a quick side note, I don't think I've ever said this, but you will know something is a family name if it ends in I-D-A-E, Idae. All family names end in A-E-D-A.
Interesting. Yep. I won't remember that, but that's okay. Continue.
Yes. The genus name is Pseudopus.
Pseudopus?
And its scientific species name is Pseudopus apodus.
Pseudopus apodus?
Pseudopus apodus.
Pseudopus apodus.
Yes.
I love them.
Yep. So these guys are actually found throughout a large portion of Europe, as well as parts of Central Asia. They tend to live in woodland areas, forest, and grasslands. They're not a greatly studied species, so we don't know what their lifespan is in the wild. But in captivity, they estimate to be average around 20 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. These guys... a little over a meter long, so about 4.4 feet.
That seems about right for the ones I've seen.
Yeah. And they weigh about 200 to 400 grams.
I thought you were going to say pounds per second, and I was like, no, they do not. That's terrifying. Okay, yeah, that makes more sense.
And they are a carnivorous species. They will eat on rodents, like some small mammals.
You haven't even touched on, like, the coolest thing about them yet.
Yes, but we will get to that.
Okay.
It's the suspenseful stuff.
Okay, it's suspenseful. Okay.
Yes. And they will also occasionally eat small birds and eggs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, the coolest thing about this lizard, if you don't know what it is.
You didn't even say it was a lizard yet, so it's a lizard.
Yes, I did. I said European glass lizard. It's its other name.
Oh, you're right. Never mind. Yep. I'm sorry.
If you don't know what it is, I should tell you that this lizard has no legs.
Yeah. So people think it's a snake, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And its head is very clearly a lizard head. They're freaky to look at. They have them at the zoo.
Yeah.
San Diego Zoo. And it's crazy because you look at them and they very clearly have a lizard head, but they just don't have legs.
Yeah.
Continue. This is why we had to talk about them. They're amazing.
Yes. So some of the ways this is pretty much universal with most other legless lizard species. But one thing you can tell that way they are not a snake is they have external ears. Snakes technically have ears, but they're covered by scales.
Oh.
Yeah. But these guys have external ears, so you'll see a tiny little hole in their head.
Yeah, it's in the hole. Yeah.
That's their ears. They also have most will have movable eyelids. Snakes, their eyelid is basically a scale over their eye.
Ew.
Yes, that's why they shed their eyelids when they have to shed their skin.
Yeah.
But these guys, they can blink. They have eyelids. And like a lot of other lizards, sometimes they'll clean it with their tongue. Sanitary. Also, when you see them eat, it's very clear that they're not a snake, because snakes can expand their jaw quite a bit.
Yeah.
These guys know.
Okay.
There's a little bit of that, but not nearly as extreme as snakes.
A snake, yeah.
Yeah. And also, their feeding response is completely different, because they don't do the whole wrapping thing like snake do. They're going to fling it.
Okay.
They eat nothing like a snake.
You acting this out is amazing. Okay.
Also, if you ever hold them, I don't know how you would ever get that experience.
No.
They feel nothing like how a snake does when you hold it.
That feels creepy to me. I would expect a snake feeling.
Yeah. Because, like, snakes will, like, wrap around you and just sit there. These guys know they'll be stiff. They will not wrap around you at all. And they will kind of like wriggle to try to get away from you. They have some of that serpentine movement, but not anything like a snake. Also, I've heard they have an attitude sometimes will bite you.
Yeah, well, they're such odd little things. Yeah. They're probably like, ugh.
Mm-hmm. And another way to tell, though not the easiest, because you would have to pick it up, these guys have very long tails. It actually makes up about 2/3 of their body.
That's insane.
Yeah. Snakes have very, very short tails.
I've never noticed that on a snake before. I just assume a lot of it is the tail.
Yeah.
But it's all one thing, so like...
Yeah. Snakes actually have very short tails, because you'll look at the tip, you'll move up a little bit, and there's the cloaca, which is basically their anus, except that is the hole for everything. Reproduction, urinating, defecating.
Everything. Oh my god.
But yeah.
Okay, continue.
Birds also have a cloaca.
Okay, we're going to move on from there.
But mammals don't unless you lay eggs.
Okay. We're going to keep going.
Okay. But yeah, if you were to look at a legless lizard, you'll see, you'll end at the tip of the tail, move all the way up. It takes a long time before you get to the cloaca.
Okay.
And that's how you can tell the difference. And now I'm going to get into the reason why they're called glass lizards sometimes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have not heard that.
So, like several other species, they can drop the tail.
Oh.
Yeah. And they'll actually drop it in pieces sometimes.
Whoa.
And that's how they get the name glass lizard, because it's like it's made of glass. Its tail shatters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So in one, like at one encounter, they'll drop it into multiple pieces.
Sometimes there's like how the tail drops is because there's these muscles that will kind of clench and then cause the tail to pop up. And there's different parts of the tail where that can happen.
Okay. Weird.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, continue. They're awesome.
Yes. And some people might think, why on earth would a lizard evolve away its legs?
Yeah.
So one of the reasons that it might have evolved leglessness is to adapt to a lifestyle of burrowing. Because when you live most of your time in burrows, legs aren't very helpful because they just get in the way. So they just got rid of, eventually over time, they lost their legs and to live in burrows and stuff like that.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep. I don't know if that's the hypothesis for snakes. I actually did find this one fossil, though, of a snake with legs. It's cool.
Ooh.
Yep.
Fancy.
Mm-hmm. And these are an oviparous species of lizard, which means they will lay eggs.
Right. I've heard that term before, but I couldn't remember what it meant.
Yes. Then there's also, do you know what viparous is?
They lay the live ones.
Live birth, I wouldn't say.
Live ones.
And you know what ovoviviparous is?
They lay the live ones, but it has a sac attached to it.
So ovoviviparous is where they have eggs that hatch inside the mother and then come out. So it looks like live birth.
I don't like that.
It's cool.
I don't think the mom likes that.
I don't think she cares. Yeah. And back to the mothers. Females will actually display maternal care and guard over the eggs.
Aww.
And they will only leave when they need to feed.
That's probably because they eat other people's eggs, so like, I should probably look after mine.
Yep. And people have probably already heard terms nocturnal and diurnal.
Yeah.
These guys are neither of those.
Oh.
They are what's called crepuscular.
I've heard this before. Yes, dusk and dawn?
Yes. They are active at dawn and dusk. And these guys have been listed as least concerned by the IUCN Red List. And good thing is their population is currently stable. And really there's no major threats to them right now. But they will occasionally be killed after people misidentify them as snakes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Although if it's a snake, I would also tell you don't kill it either.
Right. But a lot of people are so freaked out by snakes.
They're also occasionally caught in for the pet trade. Because they're not very common. They're cool. There's some people that want them.
Yeah.
And they aren't very good at reproducing in captivity. So a lot of the ones in the pet trade are wild caught.
Aww. Yeah. Poor little babies.
Mm-hmm. And that is the Sheltepusik.
Sheltepusik. Yes.
And just a fun fact to our Californians, we have a species of legless lizard here in the state.
I've never seen it. What is it?
California legless lizard.
Oh. Is it in California, though?
It is in California.
Where? I've never seen one.
I think it might be a bit further north than we are.
Everything is further north, or up in the mountains or something.
Well, the north part of Northern California.
Like freaking Wolverine.
You know, actually, I appreciate Southern California more now because we have a very weird climate.
Yeah.
It's because the biome we kind of live in is called Chaparral.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually very weird. It's very unique. It's not very common. Really, only other places is Greece, the Mediterranean. That's why it's called a Mediterranean climate.
Mm-hmm.
It's found in some parts of Australia and the tip of South Africa. But it's not found very much over the world. And it's really weird because we have hot, dry summers and then cold, wet winters, which is a predicament for plants. Because plants need the warmth in order to grow. But then they also need the water in order to supply the growth. So what the plants around here do is they have, you'll notice they're very thick leaves.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and they'll also be like curved so they aren't like directly facing the sun. They have little hairs on the leaves to absorb more water. And the reason for that is they need to store water that they collect in the winter so they can use that to grow in the summer.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yep. So I appreciate where I live a bit more after learning about Chaparral. But there are cool parts of Northern California. Like, I remember it was only a couple of years ago where we have rainforests in Northern California.
Yeah. Northern California is also beautiful.
Yes. Dude, I went up there. We were near camping there near the Bay Area, sort of. And, like, you can look at the trees in the forest. It's like... Their lichen, there's tons of lichen all over the place, and it looks so pretty. And the forests just look healthier than down here.
Yeah. It's like, basically a desert down here, though.
But the problem is there's more fires up north.
There's fires everywhere.
Yes.
California.
California's always on fire.
We are always on, well, during fire season.
Yeah.
Although now it has become an expanded fire season.
Yeah.
But yeah, California is a, like
because
I said,
we're
wow.
not raking the forest.
Gotta go rake those forests. That's really important. So smart people. We don't even know. We don't even know yet. We don't know what's happened.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Future us. I hope. I hope there's no need to rake the forest.
My God.
My God. Anyway, okay. On that wonderful note. It is time, Casey, for a challenge.
Okay.
And I'm challenging again. So last time you won, I believe, 2,000 fake dollars.
Yes, I
did. Eventually, we're going to have to add up all your fake money, and you can buy things, maybe. I don't know. All right. So you know the drill, Casey. We've done this before. So you have four categories. They are animal groups. Which Disney animal said this?
Do I get more knowledge on, like, what group names means exactly?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say it when I ask you the question.
Okay.
So you'll get it then. Finish the phrase. and ads from the past.
Okay.
Now, I should say, in the Which Disney Animal Said This, I am basically looking for a name and a type of animal.
Damn.
Okay. So, get that timer ready.
How much time?
I feel like maybe we should do 3 minutes. You didn't get that far last time.
Yeah.
And based on our last challenge, we should have done 3 minutes here. I think 3 minutes can be our new thing.
Yeah, let's do three.
So, of course, to reiterate, though, you have to get the one before you can move on.
Okay.
So
it's not like actual Jeopardy.
Names, no, it's not exactly Jeopardy. So if you're doing group names for 100 and you don't get it, you don't get the rest of that column. So,
fail.
Be smart.
Okay.
Okay. So, so you know the rules.
All right.
We got our timer ready?
Yes.
And go.
Group names 100.
Okay. What is a group of giraffe called?
A tower.
Good job.
Group names 200.
What is a group of crows called?
A murder.
Yep.
Group names 300.
What is a group of ferrets called?
A scandal.
That's amazing, but no. All right, on to the next. Which one's next?
I'm going to fail this, so let's do it. Which animal said it? 100.
Okay, I'm going to do my best to do it with the accents, but I can't. Or with the inflection. Oh, man. Hey, no hurling on the shell, dude, okay? Just waxed it.
Oh, that's Crush from... Finding Nemo.
Yes, good job.
Disney Animal said it.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
I know this scar. Yeah. He's a lion.
Yeah.
300.
Okay, 300. The human world, it's a mess.
300, I have no love. Finish the phrase, 100.
Finish the phrase. Hold your... It's a type of animal.
Horses.
Yes.
Phrase, 200.
Open a can of...
Worms.
Yep.
Phrase, 300.
The world is your...
Oyster?
Yep.
Phrase 400.
Okay, this one is a little different. This is the beginning of a phrase. Blank is the first part of the phrase, but satisfaction brought it back. I'll give you syllables. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. But satisfaction brought it back.
What? What is this? Say it one more time.
Do to do to do do to do, but satisfaction brought it back.
Do to do to do, but satisfaction brought it back. It's an animal?
Yep. It's a very common phrase.
I don't know this. Ads from the past, 100.
All right, Budweiser features this kind of animal in their Super Bowl ads every year.
Clydesdale.
Yes, good job.
Ads from past, 200.
This Geico commercial features an animal who is very happy about it being hump day. What is this animal?
A camel.
Yep.
Ash from past 300.
This ad campaign from the 90s features this animal with the catchphrase, Yo quiero Taco Bell.
What?
Yeah.
Say it one more time.
This ad campaign from the 90s features this animal with the catchphrase, Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Was that a dog?
Mm-hmm. What kind?
Chihuahua?
Yep. Good job.
Ads 400.
Though Budweiser is most recognized for their Clydesdale ads, this ad from Super Bowl 1995 featured three of this kind of animal saying, Budweiser.
I was born 95. Labradoodles.
What? No.
I don't know this.
How much time do we have left?
That's it.
Well, there we go. You, okay.
I failed.
So you did better this time, I feel like.
I feel like I did it.
Okay. Well, you know. All right. So are we doing your money first or are we doing the ones you missed first?
Let's do my money first.
Okay, your money. Oh, no. I have to add it up. Okay, hang on. Give me a second.
I don't know the phrase.
You made less money this time.
Damn it.
As long as my math is correct. I don't know if you want to check my math, but you made $1,800 this time. I'm going to have to up this amount. You're never going to be able to buy anything. All right, so to review.
What am I buying?
We have fake money. Maybe you're going to buy a nice house, buy your reptile room. I don't know what you're buying. All right, so I'm just going to go through all of them really fast. So animal groups for 100. Group of giraffe is called a tower.
Mm-hmm.
200. Group of crows is called a murder. 300. Group of ferrets is called a business.
Oh, my gosh.
Group of lemurs is called a conspiracy for 400. And 500, a group of porcupines, what do you think it is? I laughed at this one. I didn't know it, but it was funny.
I don't know.
Prickle. Yep. All right, so which Disney animal said this? 100. Oh, man, hey, no hurling on the shell, dude, okay? Just waxed it. That was a terrible Crush impression, but he got it. Mm-hmm. Crush, Finding Nemo. I believe you're right. I think he's a loggerhead or a green, maybe. I'm surrounded by idiots. Voiced amazingly by Jeremy Irons, that would be Scar, a lion from The Lion King. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm disappointed you in this one. 300. The human world, it's a mess. Here, I'll give you more of it. You'll get it. The human world, it's a mess. Life down here is better than anything they got up there. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's Sebastian from The Little Mermaid. He's a crab.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, all right, I'm going to let you guess these next ones. All right, this is 400. Which animal said this? Which Disney animal said this? Mom, are you sure this water's sanitary? It looks questionable to me.
I know it's an elephant from Tarzan. I don't remember the name.
His name is Tantor, but yes.
Tantor.
I don't expect you to get this one because I think it's too old for you. It's like I said all along, Poopsie. Cats rule and dogs drool.
I cannot know that one.
Sassy from the Homeward Bound.
Yeah.
From Homeward Bound.
Oh my gosh!
I love that movie.
I used to watch it all the time as a kid.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm awful.
I love that movie. I need to rewatch that. All right, finish the phrase. 100, hold your horses. Open a can of worms. I was kind of hoping you were going to say whoop ass.
That's what I would do.
Right? The world is your oyster. Here's the one. But curiosity brought me. I'm trying to look. Curiosity brought
me. I can't read upside down. It's too much.
Curiosity killed the cat. Because most people only say that part of the phrase. Mm-hmm. Curiosity killed the cat. Mm-hmm. There's a second part. But satisfaction brought it back. All right. I don't think you're going to get this one. Blank eat blank. Usually in a way of saying...
Dog eat dog?
Yep, it's a dog. You looked. You read it.
No, I know that phrase. Okay.
Anyway, ads from the past. Budweiser features, he got that. The Clydesdale horse is very famous. The Geico commercial with Hump Day, of course, is a camel. Ad campaign from the 90s. Oh my God. So they had these chihuahuas, and then they sold these chihuahuas, and they had all kinds of different ones. I bought one that sang. He like sang in one of the commercials. Although I think the dog who played it was a girl named Gidget. But anyway. And we had our Ridgeback mix then. He was terrified of these things. I would like push their little buttons and he would run away. Anyway, it was an amazing ad campaign. All right, here we go. Though Budweiser is most recognized for the Clydesdale ads, this ad from Super Bowl 1995 featured three of this kind of animal saying, Bud, Wise, Er. They're frogs. It was amazing. Anyway.
I was either an infant or a zygote.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a great commercial. Mm-hmm. I didn't think you'd get this one. This was the hard one.
All right.
This Kia ad campaign from 2010 features this kind of popular pet driving, rapping, and dancing.
Drive. IKEA?
Kia, the car.
Oh, Kia.
Yeah.
I want to say hamster.
That's it. Hamsters. Yep.
I remember the one where it's like, every day I feel.
Mm-hmm. And then they had a... You could do with this, you could do with that.
Yeah. I feel gypped.
So, why do you feel gypped?
Because that one I knew.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So you have 3,800 fake dollars.
I can't fight yak. I live in California.
Yeah. You have 1 month of rent of a one-bedroom apartment. Actually, no, that's more than one bed. Well, usually they require...
I know places where it's a grand for 1 month.
Yeah, but usually you have to have three times. Oh, yeah. So, and most one bedrooms are at least 1,200. Yeah. So, California living. It's so expensive. We pay that sunshine tax. Don't come here. It's terrible.
Yes.
Stay out of California. Mm-hmm. We don't need more people. We don't need more traffic.
I was going to say something, but it's awful.
Okay. Whoa. I don't even know what that was. All right. Well, anyway, what a graceful episode. Number 15.
Yeah.
We're halfway through November. And yeah, this is the I totally missed my super lame segue for our last episode that I'm sad about. I was going to say this is the month of, you know, thankfulness, Thanksgiving. And what are we thankful for, Casey? Dogs. We're thankful for dogs.
Cats.
And cats.
And the creepy crawlies.
I'm not so thankful for
them. I'm thankful for them.
I'm happy you're thankful for it, but...
Yes, they help my food.
That was a rough sentence.
They pollinate my food.
Oh, Casey! Lexi! I almost forgot. You almost let me.
What? I almost let you. Oh my gosh, I forgot.
What do you call a cow that just had a baby?
A moo mother?
I like it. A for effort. Decaffeinated.
Oh my gosh.
You see how he almost let me get away without saying my pun, everyone. All right, next time, listeners, I'm going to try to remember to actually look up different words for groups and biotas and whatever the hell we said today. I don't remember.
Menagerie.
I do love that word. But yeah, so I hope everybody has a great November, early part of November, and we will see, not again, we will not see you. Wow. I am just out of it.
You will hear our torturous screeches on an app.
On an app. Yes, so we will, but please, actually, we do want to hear from you. So, you know, respond to us on our social meds. I've given that out a billion times, so I don't think you want to hear that again. But please, yeah, check it out, because I'm going to post some pictures of these animals. I hope I can find a picture of this bat. I feel like the odds are not good. but I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, as always, let's try that again. That brings us to the end of the 15th episode of the Animal Addicts podcast. As always, I'm your host, Allie.
And Casey.
So I should say, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
I am not both Allie and Casey. And we look forward to chatting with you on the next episode of the Animal Addicts podcast. Goodbye!